Hello, welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at Life Point in Westerville. Grateful to have you with us listening into the DriveCast. This past Sunday, we continued in our series called Build, where we're looking at the story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And the legacy of Nehemiah were the walls that he built around Jerusalem. At this point in the story, what's happened is Nehemiah is a cupbearer up in the kingdom in Persia, and he has heard the word that the city of Jerusalem is in ruins because the walls are torn down and the gates are burned down. And he's up there in front of the king. He's praying. He hears about this, and he asks the king basically if he can go down and rebuild in Jerusalem. And so the king actually says yes and gives him what he needs. And at this point, we looked at how Nehemiah came into the city, and for the first 3 days he was in Jerusalem, he came in with horsemen and officers from the army, and he gets into Jerusalem. He doesn't tell anybody what he's doing there. He goes out at night, and he inspects the city walls and gates and realizes they're in complete ruins. Then he comes back to the people. So think of the nobles who are still in the land, the other leaders of Jerusalem, and he starts telling them, this is what he finds, that the city's broke down. You know, robbers can come in and steal anything, and they're not able to do the things that they want to do, and they're really the laughingstock of the other nations around them. And that even though they have a temple that's been rebuilt, they can't fully do the things that God has called them to do as a nation. So he tells them, hey, we've got to do this. We've got to rebuild. And the people just, they get so excited. They're like, let's do this thing. Let's make it happen. And then in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you see how there were 38 different clans that worked together at different stations of the wall to start building the wall. And they're about halfway done with the wall. And then this character, Sanballat, he and his official Tobiah, they are absolutely against the people of God. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, "Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?'" So he's looking at Nehemiah, who's organizing this rebuild, and he's angry. He's upset. And I tell you why, it's because it threatens his leadership. It threatens his influence in the community. And because he was mad, he's telling Nehemiah, you're not gonna get this thing done. And Nehemiah says, well, you'll have no part of it then. You won't be a part of the city. And so now, here's what he says. Verse 7 in chapter 4, "When Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it." Now, here's the thing. So it seems like whenever the people of God band together to do the work of God, there's always opposition. That whenever God wants us to do something, to be obedient, even in something little in our life, it just seems like there's just this opposition that comes up against us. And you see that in the book of Nehemiah, that Nehemiah is simply trying to do something that is really good for the city. It's good for the name of God. And yet these men are literally planning to attack the workers in order to frustrate their work and stop them from completing the work. Why would that happen? I mean, why didn't God just stop it? Why didn't he turn, Sanballat into like a big pillar of stone, right? So everyone could stare at him and think, man, I'm never going to go against God. Why does God allow opposition? It's an interesting thing that God, when he calls us to do something and he wants us to be obedient, he also wants to remind us that we have to be dependent on him. The next thing you see in chapter 4 is how Nehemiah prayed. And then he challenged the people of Israel to continue to trust God, but to continue in their work as well. And I think that's the challenge for us, is that no matter where we're at in life, if we want to just, let's say we want to add a discipline in our life, like I'm gonna read my Bible and I'm gonna start praying, I'm gonna attend church, I'm gonna give, I'm gonna be part of a life group. Whenever we make a decision to follow God, it always seems like something comes up, doesn't it? I just want to challenge you to know that this is normal, and it's all so that we will learn to depend more and more on the Lord. Father, I pray that we would have heart of dependence on you. help remind us all the time that this relationship with you is about you, and about you working in and through our lives to do the things that you're trying to accomplish, and you're simply wanting our cooperation. Wherever you're at, take a second and we're just thinking about the things that are in your life and where you may sense some opposition, and just submit your heart to the Lord and tell him that you want his help and you want to depend on him. Well, thank you so much for being part of the Drivecast today. Till next time, take care.